I would now ask that you'd give our brother Joel your careful and your prayerful attention.
Welcome each of you here tonight. I'm one of your visiting ministers. Haven't heard me for a while here. Today this cold that never leaves has tried to take my voice away. So, and that some of you may think that might be a wonderful blessing before this night's over. I want to draw your attention to several scriptures in the Word of God tonight and really kind of present the same case from several different points of view. And I found myself at the end of this last year and at the beginning of this year, I had to stop and really look at myself critically. And I hope that each of you have done the same thing. It left me with some questions from myself that needed to be answered. As I was praying about what to present here, some of those things that jumped out at me at the end of this last year and some things that we need to consider and that you and I, and you know, I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me, but it's going to have to come from personal observation of your own life. And so we're going to read. I'm going to read two different scriptures that kind of scare me a little bit. The first one's found in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to begin in verse 21. I'm sorry, let me begin in verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This little reading tells me there's a lot of things that you and I are, people are capable of doing in the name of the Lord. Calls us to the point of talking about the fruits that we bear in our life, and we're going to get a little bit deeper into that a little bit later on. But the things that you and I are capable, or people are capable of doing in the name of the Lord, that appear and have an outward appearance of godliness, and yet the Lord is going to say to them in that day, I don't know you. There's another one. Our brother Glenn read it last week. And again, it jumped out at me. It's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. When he was talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. And I can't rehearse all of that sermon to you, except that he cautioned us to maybe consider that the virgins may not represent the church itself, but it's going to represent people. Represents people, and we find that five were wise and five were foolish. We know the story. And the five that were foolish had to go buy oil. And in verse 10 it says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Well, if you haven't figured out by now, really what I want to talk about is, are you known of God? Does He know you? Do you know Him? Is it as easy to say, well, Yeah, that's the guy I pray to all the time. Is it a one-sided conversation? I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn to John chapter 14. I jumped ahead of myself. John chapter 14. There's a statement made in John chapter 14. Christ was getting ready to depart. He was telling his disciples that he was going to go, that there was many mansions in his Father's house, and he was going to go prepare a place for those, for his people. And that where he was there, that we could be also, that they could be also. And he told them, he said, you know, where I go, you know, and you know the way. In verse 5, it says, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I think about this kind of a statement. Here's a guy that's walked and talked and traveled around and saw all kinds of wonderful things, and yet somewhere in all that, he still wasn't quite sure about the relationship he had with the Lord. So, it doesn't make me feel, I guess, too bad sometimes when I have to question myself. Do I know Him? Does He know me? Does He know where I am? Should I meet Him at that day of reckoning? Will He know who I am? He goes on here a little bit further in this particular chapter, in chapter 14, in verse 21. It says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. When I think about being known, what do you all know about me? What do you know about me? Who am I? I'm Joel. Okay. Does that have a different... Does everybody have a different thing that they think of when they think of Joel? You know? Yeah, you do. And it comes from a personal relationship. And the closer a relationship I have, the more things that you can think about, whether they're good or bad. Where's Holly and Justin? You guys know Lamar and Pat Clark, right? You met them today at my house. You shook hands. You saw them right there. You know who I'm talking about. Don't you? You know who I'm talking about? What do you know about him? The guy wants to buy your wood stove. That's all I know. That's right. You don't know him. You've seen him, but you don't know him. What does it take for the Lord to manifest himself? To be known. To really know Him and to be known of Him. Let's now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 19. Says this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows His. We're known. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth those that are His. Depart from iniquity if you name the name of Christ. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There are in the house things that are honorable, beautiful, precious, and there are some that are not. And they're made of the things of the earth. And he tells us, you know, you and I have to purge from ourselves the iniquity. We have to depart from these things which are displeasing, that we can be a vessel unto honor, known, something valuable, worthy, prepared for God's use, known. Have the McIndoos had their family birthdays already done? How long did you plan that? Did you guys have some place you went to? Does it change every year? At your house. Is it your house every year, Betty? Okay. What do you want to do that for? Because they're your family. You know them pretty well, don't you? When Don and Brian are gone, do you ever get emails from Kathy or Betty? Do you? Fairly regular? Yeah. Are they
If I don't, plus it don't, rubs it in.
You've been forgotten by your family. How well do they know you, huh? Yes, we're concerned about people that we know. We make plans to do things. I know that I can look out here and I can think of all kinds of people that I've made plans with because I have a vested interest in their life. They're known to me. They're loved by me. And I make plans. No doubt, among God's people, we also make plans with Him. And I'm assuming that most of us have, or I hope that you have, made some plans about things that we do for the Lord. I would like to turn us to Mosiah chapter 3. In Mosiah chapter 3, we go back. This is found on page 224. I'm going to begin in verse 8. It says, "And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters." I think most of us that have children realize how close a relationship that can be. It isn't always that way. But we know how close that relationship can be. And so we have this opportunity to be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters, because of the covenant that we made. "And behold, this day He has spiritually begotten you, for ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on His name. Therefore ye are born of Him and have become His sons and His daughters. And under this head are ye made free, and there is no other head whereby ye can be made free. There is no other name whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God. For he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And now it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not take upon them the name of Christ must be called by some other name. Therefore he findeth himself on the left hand of God. And I would that you should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give unto you, that never should be blotted out, except it be through transgression. Therefore take heed that you do not transgress, that the name be blotted out of your hearts. I say unto you, I would that you should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that ye are not found on the left hand of God, but that ye hear and know the voice by which ye shall be called, and also the name by which he shall call you." You know, I think of my relationship as I was considering my life at the beginning of this year. I wasn't just considering my prayers before the Lord, but I had to stop and ask myself, How often am I hearing from him? Can you imagine talking to someone that's close to you and never getting a response? How long would you stay close? You never hear from the person. You talk to them and do you feel important? Would that make you feel important? You sit and talk to you. For me, if I sat and talked to my wife and she never uttered a word, wouldn't get much out of that conversation. It wouldn't take too long before I said, there's something wrong. And so as I stopped to look at my life and what's been going on, you know, is how much am I hearing from him? Am I getting feedback that I need? Is there a conversation going on between us? Are there times when I come into the church and I feel that impress? Joel, this is what you need to do. This is a scripture you need to read. Joel. Do you know the voice? Have you been hearing it? And if you haven't, are you known by him? That's the question I have tonight. How well are you known? For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, and which is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart. And again, doth a man take an ass which belongeth to his neighbor and keep him? I say unto you, nay, he will not even suffer that he shall feed among his flocks, but will drive him away and cast him out. I say unto you that even so shall it be among you if you know not the name by which you are called. You and I, called to be Christians, called to be known of God. How well are you known? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. A very simple statement. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. We're known by our love for him. Isn't that how all of our relationships work? The love that we have, we're known by that love that we have for him. We're known of him when we show him the love that we have. When we show that we're pleased to be called in his name. Moving on to John chapter 10. Two verses. Verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He knows his sheep, and he's known of his sheep. If we backed up to verse 4, it says, the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. He's known. Most of us that have kids, when they're in a group of other kids, we know the voice. If our child cries out, there's something distinct about it because we have a relationship with them. We've heard that. And most of them know their parents when you call out to them. How well are you known by God? Well, I have a favorite scripture about being known. It's found in the book of Daniel. And when I pit my personal life against this scripture, I'm thrilled to know that we have a God that's capable and able to reach out to people as he does, that it's absolutely true when he says he knows his and he's known of them. Daniel chapter 9, one of my favorite scriptures about being known by God, having this relationship that not only are your prayers being heard, but you also are receiving a communication that the Spirit of God is effectively working in your life, that you're hearing His voice, that you're recognizing His voice. I have noticed that we have trouble sometimes recognizing the right voice because there are so many. And yet here's this example of Daniel. In verse 20 of chapter 9, it says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. From the time he spoke, he was heard, known, told Gabriel, get down there quickly. How well are you known? Are you loved of God because you have loved Him, shown Him? I want to talk a little bit about fruit. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 5. There's a story in Isaiah chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Now I'll sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. There's a scripture that we'll read in the book of Galatians that talks about what God has done, where He has brought us, in a sense. When I look at the world from a different perspective of that, is that the Lord planted this vine and He's looking for a particular type of fruit. He's done all that He can to protect His people. And He's looking for something particular to accomplish His purposes. And yet, when He looked here on Israel, He wanted it to bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Choice vine brought forth wild grapes. We can continue on, but I want to go now to talk about fruit a little bit. I want to turn to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to go to verse 44. It says this, "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns do men gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." I had to stop and think this morning, and I got off of work about midnight last night, and I got home, well, probably about 12:30, and I was a little tired, but my mind got to thinking. Any of you know your fruits very well? Huh? How many different types of oranges are there? Six? Okay. More? Somebody say more. They're coming up with new stuff all the time. How many of you think you could look at them and choose them? A few. Yeah? Well, good. I hope so, because I'm going to need some help. I brought some fruit with me today, only to make a point. My personal favorite orange is a navel orange. It's absolutely my personal favorite. If I set these up here, could someone tell me which one the navel orange is? Which one is that? You say number two? From which way? Number two? Everybody agree? You'd all be wrong. Okay, good. No? How would we really know? If I peeled all these, how do you know? Okay. Now which one is it? Can't see it that good. Well, that's good. I'm glad to know that. Well, there's a point I really want to get at. And which one of these is a white grapefruit and which one of these is pink? Say this one's pink? How do you know? Brandon, would you know? Nah. How would we tell? It's not about what it looks like on the outside. It's about what it is inside. That's what the Lord's looking for. That's what I'm looking for when I start peeling these oranges. And if I had peeled them and set them up here, I guarantee you, you probably wouldn't know until we started looking at them. One of them has seeds and the navel isn't tended to have them. It does have some, but... You know, we could peel them all, and we're going to get a different look, but it's really what makes up that inside that the Lord's concerned with. His fruit, the fruit that we carry as Christians, is what makes up. It's how we are known. It's what fruit we're bearing. And it really doesn't matter about what the outside looks like. This particular grapefruit here has seen better days from the outside. But it doesn't mean that the inside isn't something that the Master Himself has been looking for. He doesn't care what the outside looks like, but He is looking for something that's sweet. He planted us to be a certain way and to respond. Our brother Bob talked about some of our responses today. He got us to respond. He wants us to respond in certain ways, to be known as His people. And I want to talk about one of those ways. We find it in John 15. I'm not going to turn to it, but you know that He says that He is the vine and we are the branches. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. He's looking for a certain type of fruit to be born. Unfortunately, it's sometimes we think, well, we don't bear any fruit, but I guarantee you we're bearing some kind of fruit. As we read here in Luke chapter 7 or 6, there is a kind of fruit that we're bearing. You and I, we're all bearing fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, when you look at yourself, you've got to compare yourself to this reading. And you've got to ask yourself what kind of fruit you're bearing. You've got to ask yourself, are you known? And how are you known? When I look at this in verse 22 of chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit. What are your responses made up? And how well do you know your Lord? And how well are you known of Him? Are your responses to life and its troubles are the fruit that's born because of the relationship you have with God? Is the thing that comes from your experiences, is there found love? Whether it be for God or man, joy. I have walked around in our congregation in the last year. There are people sitting here that I think are foreign to the concept of joy. They don't know what it is. And yet it's the precious fruit by which you and I should be known. Joy. There's some of us that walk around in turmoil and find no peace. And I ask, how well are you known? There's a scripture that says that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. There's another one that talks about the peace of God that comes on who? His people. Those that are known of Him. There are some of us that exhibit impatience with brothers and sisters. We haven't figured out how to be long-suffering. And I ask you, how well are you known? And what fruit are you showing on the inside? Is it sweet? The other fruit of gentleness. Have you found it in your life? Is that your response? Are you able to respond in gentleness in situations that in times past you felt not to be gentle? Do you seek after the goodness that's found in God? Is your faith secure? Or do you find yourself doubting? Are you meek? Are you humble? Brother Bob mentioned today, you know, that God didn't make him a captain so he could be a captain. And I felt the same way, you know. God's purpose in me being a captain in the fire department wasn't about so that I could, you know, everybody on the job, oh, what a great guy. Man, I'm so glad Joel made captain. You know, gosh, I sure hope I can work for him. Well, you know, that was never God's intention. That wasn't what he was looking for. Are we humble? Do we recognize God's workings in our lives and we stay humble? Temperance. Do we have some self-discipline? Are we able to not overdo? What kind of fruit are you seeing come out? This is the fruit of God's Spirit. It's that way that we're known. It's what people see. If they're not seeing this in you, what do they see? What fruit are you bearing? What fruit am I bearing? And how well are you known? As we begin to get closer to the Lord, these things, these aspects of the fruit, and it's not plural, it's fruit. It's one fruit. It's the fruit that God's looking for, just like I look for this. This is my favorite orange. It's what I look for. I didn't, you know, I put it in a different tree and I didn't like it. Well, it's okay, but it's just okay. But this is what I'm looking for, and God's looking for this. This is what He wants to see in your life and mine. And it's the way that He knows if you and I know Him. When our responses come from the relationship we have with the Spirit, how well are you known? Is the Spirit of God active in your life? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I asked myself earlier this year, as I contemplated my life, and I see some areas that need some work, and how much do I want this? How important is it to me to be known of the Lord? There's a reading here in Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you to turn back there with me. Something we must be careful of. Here in the last part of the third chapter of Galatians, it talks about those that have, in verse 27, those that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor free female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. None of us were born into the family of Christ. We just weren't born there. With nothing, you know, well, we're just privileged because we're the only ones born in it. None of us were born there. We had to be adopted. And that adoption came through baptism. And in so doing, we became heirs. Chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This close relationship, because we were sons, because we were daughters, the Spirit of God is sent to our heart so that we can know Him as our Father. Whereby there are no more, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? A wonderful question. So many of us, given freedom by God, freedom from sin, coming in as heirs to the kingdom. It's so easy to sometimes turn again and desire that bondage, just like they did when they fled Egypt. They wanted to go back. But how can you and I, who've known Him and been known of Him, go back? We've been promised freedom. We've been promised a relationship, heirs, adopted as heirs. I was thankful that when I come here, I know that there are people in our congregation that have adopted children. And I don't need to get any more specific. Can you notice the huge difference in the way they take care of their children? They love them less than they would if they were their own, don't they? No. They're heirs. There's no separation. They're known. Loved. I want to turn to page 385 in the Book of Mormon. This is going to be Alma, chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 40. I'm going to begin in verse 46. Wound around in all this reading is the story of the four sons of Mosiah who left the kingdom, who gave up being kings to serve the Lord. And they went to another kingdom, a kingdom among their enemies, people that didn't know the Lord. And they were given an opportunity by God to share the Lord with these people. And here one of the sons of Mosiah, named Aaron, he finds himself in front of one of the kings. And he shares with him what Aaron knew. He was known of the Lord, and he knew the Lord. And because he did, he knew what the Lord had to offer. And he left that offer at the table of this great king among the Lamanites. And I'm going to begin in verse 46. He says, and since he's telling them, he's expounding. I was thinking about this when I'd heard Brian saying that he had an opportunity to go and talk to some people that may never have even known the Lord. That's exactly what Aaron was up against, and he started right at the beginning. Told him about the fall of man and the plan of redemption and about Christ. And in verse 46 it says, and since man had fallen, he could not merit anything of himself, but the sufferings and death of Christ atoneth for their sins through faith and repentance. And that he breaketh the bands of death, that the grave should have no victory, and that the sting of death should be swallowed up in the hopes of glory. And Aaron did expound all these things unto the king. And it came to pass that after Aaron had expounded these things unto him, the king saith, what shall I do that I may have this eternal life of which thou hast spoken? Yea, what shall I do that I may be born of God, having this wicked spirit rooted out of my breast, and receive His Spirit, that I may be filled with joy, that I may not be cast off at the last day? Behold, he saith, I will give up all that I possess. Yea, I will forsake my kingdom, that I may receive this great joy. What are you willing to give up to be known of God? What? None of us really have a kingdom. And yet this man, having felt the touch having been placed before him an opportunity to know the Lord, was willing to give up all that he possessed to be filled with the joy. And Aaron said unto him, if thou desirest this thing, if thou wilt bow down before God, yea, if thou wilt repent of all thy sins and wilt bow down before God and call on his name in faith, believing that ye shall receive, then shalt thou receive the hope which thou desirest. And it came to pass that when Aaron had said these words, the king did bow down before the Lord upon his knees, yea, even he did prostrate himself upon the earth and cried mightily, saying, O God, Aaron hath told me that there is a God. And if there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me? And I will give away all my sins to know thee, that I may be raised up from the dead and be saved at the last day. Well, the story goes on. I'm not going to read it. But I really ask you tonight, are you known? And how well do you know him? If you've been praying and praying and praying, but you've not received the answers and you haven't heard his response, you're not close enough. I guarantee you it's not his fault. It's yours. As Aaron counseled this man, this king so long ago, really, the path is paved and it's easy. That you must bow down before him and repent of your sins. And you must be like this king and be willing to give them away. Walking in a new heart. Are you known when the Lord calls? Do you know his voice? Are you confused when you thought you heard his voice and things sure didn't turn out the way I thought he said they were going to? Is it his problem or is it yours being confused? It tells me you're probably not close enough. Have you begun to work to place the Spirit of God, the fruit of that Spirit, in your responses to life? Is that what people see when they see you? Is that by what you're known by others that know you? And they see God at work in your life. I'm thankful that I had an opportunity at the beginning of this year to stop and reconnect. Stop and look at myself in a microscope to ask myself some of these questions. And when I looked at myself and I saw things that didn't quite add up, the next question that came is, well, what am I willing to do? I want to end in the book of John, 1 John. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, it says this, my little children, verse 1, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and now the true light now shineth. And he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. Dropping down to verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You and I cannot be known by God if our heart is wrapped up in love of the world. You cannot know him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I hope and I pray that you should look at yourself, that you should examine yourself, that you might be known as well as you know the Lord. That we will never hear those words spoken of us. I don't know you. I thought about several statements made in Scripture. Often it says, go. If you and I hear go at the last day, that's not good. What we desire to hear is come. Well done. May God help you to be known this year. And in your lives, may you be striving to know Him, to hear His voice, to have that relationship with Him that's worth giving up all that you possess to have. God bless you in that endeavor.